back in the cartoon series as well. But there's this YouTube video, they bring him back. Uh-huh. And basically, him just being like, I left very clear instructions of what was to happen in the chance of my death, and you didn't do it. Like, who the hell is Rodimus Prime? I told you it was going to be Magnus. And yeah. then, like, there's this running skit, because, you know, Bumblebee does this thing, he becomes Goldbug. And so he starts, like, every time he says something, Bumblebee just, I'm not Goldbug anymore. I'm like, how hard, like, just takes, like, random words. And then Blur, he cannot stand. He just cannot stand. And you, and the actor, the guy does such a great job of playing of the Optimus voice, that he just slowly gets more and more irritated. He goes, basically, to him, like, who the fuck are you? Like, why are you even here? Like, somebody get, he's naming up the Transformers that die in the movie after he dies. Like, you know, where's Jazz? Where's this? And it was like, oh, they, where's Ironside? They didn't make it. So yeah, it was great. It's freaking like basically he fires all the Transformers except for Blaster because he wants some good music. He was like, "Here, you can basically DJ and I'll go save the universe." It's fantastic. You know,
awesome, right? Absolutely. So we are live, Brian.
Sir,
before we get going into the show, what did poop say to the fart? You blow
We're
me
both
away.
Dads, but I'm not even going here. Okay. All right. Give me this.
You blow me away. You blow me away. And with that, let's start the show. Welcome to the Fandemic Presents, Prevenge of the Nerds. We are your one-stop podcast. Every week, we are going to bring you all the things. To level up your awesome, you can also order my book, Leveling Up My Awesome, on sale on Amazon, $7.99, or reach out to me and I'll hook you up with an autographed copy for maybe just a little bit more.
And this isn't the one time we defeat Thanos. This is the first of his shameless plugs.
Yes, you are correct. We're switching things around a little bit. Instead of doing the war report, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to do our top five. So this is how the show is going to go. We're going to start off with our top five for the week. We will give you our 2 cents worth and a penny for our thoughts about the things that we like and the things that maybe just quite aren't up to our level of awesome. So for those people that didn't read my book, Leveling Up My Awesome.
The three people that are out there, but it is your second shameless plug.
I think record's five, so let's try to beat that.
Record too. Is five. All right, let's see if we can hit it.
All right, then after that, we're going to tell you all the stories that could have led to your favorite movies, TV shows, and so much more. It might be a list. It might be a pitch. One thing's for sure, your awesome will be leveled due to this. And then to close the show, we are going to play Pitch, Fix, or Ditch. We might do quick pitches like we've been doing, fix some property that desperately needs it, or ditch something all together. Now, the PIP patent is currently pending. So now, Brian,
you could just call it PDF because that's a thing too.
PFD, you mean? Pitch, Fix, Ditch?
Oh, PFD. Yeah, true that. Yeah.
But then I can't say.
You know, okay, look, you don't want to use that mic, so if you don't mind slobbering on every week, go for it, okay? If we were in the same space, that would definitely need some revamping, but you do you, sir, you do you.
All right, I got you. All right, I am the self-proclaimed Emperor of Awesome, Bradley Buchanan, and this is my co-host, the unverified twin of Shamar Moore, at least in the nipples.
Brian S. Dennis, where the S stands for K-E-V-I-N.
Yes. Welcome to the Fandemic, streaming live on the Book of Face, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. So don't forget to like, share, hit all the buttons that remind you that on the platform of your choice, that it is your time to level up your awesome. just like my
book. And rumor has it, we are also streaming on MySpace, Netscape, and of course, Ask Jeeves.
Oh, very good, very good. Took a second for that one to click in me.
Ask Jeeves, man, that was the best one.
It was. Brian, let's start with our top five of the week. Sir. What's going on, man? What's your top five?
Okay, so my top five, most of it kind of realms into it, but my top five, number one's got to be in no particular order, but we got to start with Werewolf by Night. Great show. If you, it's a little mini short movie, an hour long, 55 minutes, if you can call that a movie. We saw Marvel definitely give you something in black and white that goes into horror. Fits perfectly for the month of October. I brought this back because I've now watched this two or three times. Hocus Pocus 2, you've not checked it out. You gotta check out Hocus Pocus 2. Rings of Power, and we got a little bit of a reveal. Bradley, have you caught up with all 8 episodes of Rings of Power?
Yes, I did. Wow.
Yes, absolutely.
Bring it home, man. Let's talk about that for a few minutes.
Okay, so if you've been following Rings of Power now, so one of the criticisms I've had, I think Bradley shared that Rings of Power moved a little slow in the first few episodes.
But not as slow as Andor.
No. Paint drying mixed with molasses doesn't move as slow as Andor, okay? Mm-hmm. That being said, Bradley and I in a three-legged race does not move as slow as Andor, okay? With that being said, Rings of Power gave us a lot in really the last two episodes, but really the final one. Speaking about something that begins with a great crescendo to build to season number two, we had at least one of our big questions answered and one mostly sort of kind of possibly answered. And like anything else, it introduced three women who don't know who the hell they are, as all great series should do. So Rings of Power did that. We also got the creation of three of the eventual 20 rings of power. So really good. Starting to tie in more of you, more fans of Lord of the Rings. You definitely can see that lead into Lord of the Rings. Obviously, Hobbit happened before Lord of the Rings. And, you know, like anything else, had a little bit of gentrification. We had a really nice neighborhood. It went to the pot. So, you know, we get the rich white guy who moves in because that's what happened. So, as always, we bring a little social commentary to the podcast. And again, Brian Denson's social commentary is brought to you by the Infinity Mug. All right.
Yeah, so, man.
What are your thoughts on Rings of Power?
Well, before we do that, let me go ahead and put our spoilers up here. All right. There we are. The last two episodes really brought Rings of Power home for me. I was a little bit confused. Like, why didn't they show the three, like, weird mulleted, like, people, I guess the followers of Sauron?
Yeah, the aesthetic, I think is what they're called. I did a little online. They're called the aesthetic.
Right.
Not sure what that means.
Yeah, hopefully they can flush that out in season two. Because I know it's going to be 5 seasons. They're going to do 5 seasons of Rings of Power.
Okay.
I loved it, man. I feel like I need to rewatch all of them just to see what I didn't get. I'm kind of waiting for a good day to do that. But that Rings of Power was not my favorite season finale.
Mine neither. Let me see what else I gave us. Werewolf by Night, Rings of Power, some other things. House of the Dragon, if you've not caught up with House of the Dragon. Mm-hmm. We're recording on Sunday before House of the Dragon actually comes out tonight. Mm-hmm. So if you caught up on the most recent episode, just real quick, Bradley, have you caught up to a current date?
I am. Yep, I'm all caught up, ready for tonight.
Okay, perfect. And again, do you agree that Aemond is now a new favorite character?
Yes, I concur. Yes, man. Rings of Power, but House of the Dragon is fantastic as well. Yes. I really wish Rings of Power and House of the Dragon did not come out at the same time.
Yeah, because you inevitably compare the two, and they're very different source material. But you've got a bunch of fair haired, you know, white people with swords and magic. So I wonder what's that. So you know, you've got House of the Dragon, you've got Rings of Power, and then you've got the state of Montana. Fair-haired white people with magical powers. You know, it's a very, very, very unique thing. Yeah. And of course, all three hate black people. All right. Now, that being That being said, and again, Aemond Targaryen, I now call him the One-Eyed Snake, is quite powerful. And there there's nothing better than, again, not to, because we want to keep this fairly brief, I know, but when he goes and talks about his cousins, talk about how handsome they are, and how just wonderful they are, and then he talks about how strong they are. That was some quality shade. That was some quality shade. I was like,
yeah.
And the best was when Aemond was kind of like, oh, don't even. No, yeah. don't. Yes.
Man, so. in Game of Thrones, in that world, it's so easy to like the bad guy.
They do such a great job with that.
I mean,
they really do.
Right. Nobody in the show is going to beat Daemon. Matt Smith, I mean, like, mm-hmm. like, dude, yes, you were known for the Doctor.
Yes.
Now you are known for Daemon Targaryen. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I still have a little bit of a problem. Like, to me, the season went down when they got rid of Missy Alcock. Was that
yes,
her name?
Yes, the original actor that played Rhaenyra. Yeah.
I just, you know, and the other actress does a good job, but like, just not as good.
Emma Darcy, they do a very good job playing Rhaenyra, but it is a little different. Mm-hmm. I do know that there are some that are really big fans of their portrayal, but, you know, I personally like the original actress, but they've grown so much with, especially Allison's character, again, Aemond's character, RIP, again, there will be supposed to RIP to the king. That was right. done so well. I'm really interested what happens going forward. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to give it to the Sea Snakes. The Sea Snakes' little brother, if you're going to go out, man, I mean, he went out like a champ. I mean, he knew it was going to go. And by the way, Bradley, did you watch the after show when they talk about the details of the show? Do you happen to watch that after the most recent episode?
I did not.
They have a great interview with the actor that played the Sneezes' little brother. I'm sorry, I can't remember his character's name at this point. But the way that character ends the show, he actually goes, but remember, Daemon had to come at me from behind. Like, even the actor took it so like, he came at me from behind. If that would have been if that would have been face-to-face, it would not have gone out like that. I was like, that's what I want. I want someone to go, you know what? But if this been a fair fight, it would have been a little different. So with that.
Nice.
Okay, so my last of my top five, and I think it's probably where you are going, is my favorite season finale of the past week was, without a doubt, She-Hulk. Was done so well. It broke all the fourth wall. Almost broke some fifth wall.
I mean, right?
Broke all the walls. And for anyone that didn't like it, and I have heard people say this, and I believe, and I really agree with them, if everything that She-Hulk does that breaks the fourth wall was done by Deadpool, mm-hmm. you'd be loving it. You'd be loving it. Okay, so all the things that she does, we love when Deadpool does it. We have an mm-hmm. issue when She-Hulk does it. I wonder why. Okay.
Man.
But that was just a great episode. And all the inside jokes there were fantastic.
Right. I mean, like, I got a little bit of hate because I gave it a really good review on TikTok. And like I had several people like message like, this is trash, and I'm like, great, whatever, like, have your opinion, that's fine. But
if anything, it talked about some of the other criticism that people had with Marvel movies and television shows, that they kind of follow a formula, and like, we're not gonna follow that formula, and I thought that was great.
Well, that in the entire season, they are telling you what it is.
Yes,
I mean, like, she, again, I mean, this is the millionth time I've said this, She-Hulk was created as satire of Hulk.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Every part of it is satire. This show is as close to ripped right out of the freaking comics as you're going to get.
Yes.
And yeah, you had, I mean, like, man, there is so much good stuff in this season between Madison, between Longer.
Wait, if you're going to mention Madison,
that's true.
It's Madison with two N's and a Y, but not where you think it is.
Right.
Yeah. And agree with you. I mean, the answer, I think the way they handled She-Hulk was fantastic. But the ancillary characters, again, Madison, Wongers. By the way, if there's not a Wonger, when I watch the season finale, again, spoiler, if they don't have, they've got to have like a Wong Carmitage show in the, they have to. Even if they've not announced it, now you've got, again, spoiler alert, you've got Wong, you've got Madison. Again, remember, she sold her soul. Now you got the Abomination. Plus, you've got America Chavez there. You've got Pete, the guy in the chair there. Like, you've got all these people from the other movies that, and shows that are training in Carmitage. They've got to explore Carmitage. And plus, the guy's a Sorcerer Supreme. And give Benedict Wong fan. I mean, he's happy. He's great in every role that he's ever had him in. And he steals the Martian with Matt Damon. I mean, he's just really, really good. They've got to give him some type. I mean, even with Shang-Chi, I mean, there's so many things that Wong is kind of becoming that guy, like the new Nick Fury. He just keeps showing up. By the way, Nick Fury, played by Samuel Jackson. Well, the L stands for. Wong is showing up in all these different products. There's got to be something with either Wong specifically or more broadly Carmitage, which I think would just be, I mean, they've got to have something coming. All right. Anyway, but please continue to tell us about the She-Hulk season finale. It was great, in my opinion.
Me too. And you know what? Go watch it. Watch it. Be fantastic. And if you want to fight about it, go somewhere else.
And I will say this, however you feel about the show, it unabashedly has had the best soundtrack. It has unabashedly had the best soundtrack. Maybe Guardians. Maybe Guardians. But for the shows, I doubt the best soundtrack. And if you compare a 30-some-odd minute TV show versus a 2-hour-plus movie, it's right there with Guardians Volume 1 and Volume 2 when it comes to soundtrack. So I said what I said. Fight me. All right.
Best soundtrack out of any TV show of 2022.
Don't say it.
Is Peacemaker.
I thought for real you were going to go Love and Thunder. I thought you might go Love and Thunder. I know how you feel about GNR. I thought for real you might drop Love and Thunder. You're right, though, because I will admit my playlist is heavily Peacemaker-informed. The amount of hair bands that are now in my rotation. Thank you, John Cena. Thank you, James Gunn. For that is, and speaking of that, we should really do a show on favorite. We talked about maybe having some themes or list shows back. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should go from the, what have been our favorite series from both the MCU and the DCU that have been on. So everything from Peacemaker and Harley Quinn, I'll get all the stuff on Disney Plus. There's a Superman show, there's Doom Patrol, there's a variety of them out there. Maybe we'll kind of unpack some of our favorite shows in a future podcast.
Yeah, I think we're going to start doing the topics for like 6 or 7 weeks.
Yep.
So perfect. I think we'll probably start doing thankful stuff, but we'll talk about that offline. All right, Brian.
What's in your top five, sir? Anything that I missed?
A lot of stuff that we have the same, pretty much. All the finales. I got Rings of Power and She-Hulk. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk about. Okay, well, Andor is getting better, but not in my top five.
No. Quick shout out to my friend Jeffrey Young, who loves the show. It's good. Ish, it's good. It's me and my friends. I call it. It's good adjacent. Like it's not bad. Yeah. But it's really. I don't know if it's good. And maybe our expectations. You know, again, maybe Boba Fett and Mandalorian just change our expectations of Star Wars. That we and you know this is not done by the same people. So you know, same universe, not same people. Mm-hmm. So similar to you know, you went to Han Solo after seeing Rogue One. And you go, is it really not good or it just isn't as good as Rogue One? So similarly, we came in expecting what's going to lead into Rogue One. In my opinion, one of the better Star Wars movies that they've done, especially of the new series of movies, new slate of movies. And it's just different. It's really, there's no Empire, there's no Jedi, there's no lightsabers, there's no, you know, there's no Wookiees. You know, we did all for the Wookiee. So anyway, yep. So anything else you want to add to our Fave Five, sir?
Yeah, a couple more. My book, Leveling Up My Awesome, is on sale on Amazon right now. Also, I had an episode of The Fandemic meets Andrea Ward that came out this last week. She is the great niece of Billie Holiday, and she is an actress, stunt woman, director. She lives out in Georgia. Amazing conversation. Can't wait to talk to her again. Maybe I need to throw an invite to come on to Prevenge of the Nerds as well.
Dude, okay. As much as I love being your tag team partner, if you've got do you say granddaughter, great granddaughter, Billie Holiday?
It's the great niece.
Great niece of Billie Holiday. Feel free to take my chair anytime, sir. That is fantastic. So, again, yeah. If you didn't see me, kudos to you, sir. Fantastic.
Oh, man, she was awesome. She was awesome. We had such a great conversation. Anyway, other than that, to this Wednesday, I will be doing Hocus Pocus Bingo at B&B Theaters in Ankeny, Iowa. So if you are in the area, come in and check us out.
It's potentially going to be Hocus Pocus Out of Focus.
Ooh, I like that, and I will probably use it.
That's right. And by the way, if anyone cosplays the Captain and Jimmy character from a Hocus Pocus, holler at your boy. All right, so we can keep going. All right.
All right. Well, you got some honest advertising, don't you, sir?
I got an honest ad, sir. So I'm going to give you my honest ad, and this is not only an honest ad, but it's maybe an honest prayer. It had a little inspiration, sir. So when you're ready, I would give you my honest advertisement in line with the holiday Halloween season.
Very cool. Well, you know what? I just got back from church minutes before I jumped on. We did I actually did a block party over at the church that I go to. Sweet. And I did magic for a few hours over there. So it was a good time. So you know what?
Meaning prestidigitation or the role-playing game?
I did my sleight of hand. I did card tricks.
Nice. I did sleight of hand when I was younger as well, and my parents told me it was going to make me grow hair on my palm and make me go blind. So I stopped doing that. Okay, sure, I stopped. Okay, honest advertising. Here we go. All right, are you ready, sir?
Take me to church, buddy.
All right, dude. Though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil except for candy corn. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yet nothing can erase this horror, wrapped in orange and brown sugar and built on the souls of the innocent. This chewy, tasteless abomination comes from the deepest, darkest circle of hell. And when the seventh seal is finally cracked on the day of Armageddon, sitting in a castle of pain on a throne of blood, will be Jar Jar Binks, holding a bag full of candy corn, soaking in unicorn tears. Tonight, before you close your eyes, ladies and gentlemen, and you pray to whatever deity you worship, be careful to not let your guard down and allow your feelings to betray you and eat just one small piece of candy corn. You may find your soul banished to Mordor, or even worse, West Virginia. Candy corn, honest advertisement.
Well done, well done.
Sir. And this is the first time I'm probably going to say it this way. Candy corn people, fight me. I'm not intimidated by the candy corn people. I don't know why. Normally, I ask you, please don't sue me, but candy corn, bring it. All right, so, yeah.
I have right on my side. I have right on my side.
I have righteous indignation. You know what? Somewhere Jar Jar Binks is going, don't associate me with candy corn. They know right? Nothing of my work.
Well done, Brian. All right.
Thank you.
So, for today, Prevenge, we are to go over are must-have horror movies.
Must-haves.
So, you know what? Let's take turns here. Let's do let's start with one of your honorable mentions, and then we'll just go back and forth. Want to start it out?
All right, sir. Here is my first honorable mention. And a couple of my honorable mentions straddle genres while they're in the honorable mentions. Mm-hmm. So first off, one of the movies that scared me to death, that made me afraid to go into any cave. Okay, first, I'm a black guy, so I'm not trying to go into caves anyway. But this thing made me real afraid to do any type of exploring, which is Alien. Absolutely terrified me. And this was really one of the first movies that really kind of straddled that horror sci-fi genre. It's been basically when Spaceballs can't improve upon your scene other than to have the alien sing. That tells you how great it is. The Alien basically did a shot-for-shot remake of that scene with the chest sucker. So, yes, Alien, without a doubt, goes in my honorable mention on must-see horror movies.
Brian, my first honorable mention is Alien.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do not share our list. I think we need to remind folks of that. We, honest to goodness, we wouldn't lie to you on prevention. Come on, we said, okay, I just had a whole rant about Catherine and Jimmy could get those digits and told the Candy Corp people to come fight me. Trust me, we're honest to a fault on this. And yes, we do not share the our list. So I love the fact that that was your number one as well. Go for it, sir.
Yeah. I'll do my number nine.
Then. Yeah, hit it.
All right, my number nine is one of the first real vampire movies that I remember watching growing up. This came straight out of the 80s. This is probably one of the top vampire movies. It starred Kiefer Sutherland. Very good. The Lost Boys. The Frog Brothers.
I'm sorry, that song. Oh my god, yes.
I you know what? I'm downloading that. I'm putting that on my soundtrack on there. I don't think I have it on my phone.
Yes. Talk about something that deserves a legit, not a reimagined, a legit sequel, which is what happens. Now, that grandpa, that end of that scene.
Oh, dude.
It's just fantastic. Okay, when Day Shift had that alert with Snoop, come on now. It's just that nod to it. It's just what's fantastic. I mean, the Coreys, RIP to Corey Haim, just everything about that. Okay, Jamie Gertz. But just everything about that movie was just fantastic. And again, for anyone that watches Twilight and goes, you don't know what cool, sexy vampires are until you watch that movie. Yeah.
Brian, so Leia has started to watch Twilight movies. She's on the third one. I know. I feel like, I try to steer her away from that.
You've done a really good job with her with so many of the things she's into. You can't win them all, man.
I know. But, man. Whew.
Just. Yeah. And by the way, if you're going to be Teen Edward or Teen Jacob, be Teen Jacob. Edward, okay, just, you know.
Yeah.
He wound up being really good in The Batman. And you know what? When his death as Secretary Diggory trumps his life as Edward Cullen, that tells you a lot. All right. If you don't mind, I'll go next, sir.
Do it, sir.
Okay, again, one that maybe not be straight up out of the horror that doesn't scare you a lot, but I think is a great one for suspense and just an overall fantastic movie, The Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis and Haley Joel Osment. And we're about to have our first cameo of the day.
Well, yeah, we are talking about scary movies.
Megan. Oh,
yeah, I have not seen a trailer. I just told Brian about how you are watching
Twilight.
She doesn't understand, you know. Hi, Princess Leia. How are you?
Good.
Oh, don't
you? Okay. All right. So I understand you like Twilight, and that's fine. There are better vampire movies. How about this? Ask your dad, has he seen the movie Once Bitten?
Have you seen the movie Once Bitten?
Yes.
So you should watch that with your dad. That is a better movie.
No, thank you.
Okay. Give the headphones back to your dad.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to use that ear ever again. Okay. But
she might be a little young for Once Bitten, but if Twilight's a little dark for her, Once Bitten will be as kind of a good marginal. Maybe she needs to be a couple years older for Once Bitten, given.
Dude, that's such a great movie. What, Leia? No, I don't want to see your toe. No, go away. Here, go throw that away.
But that's great parenting, what you've all done. Tell your kids, go away. Just go find something else to do.
My toenail kind of split in half.
Yeah, she cracked her toenail open last
Ouch.
Night. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a couple too many shots last night. Yeah, we did caramel apple shots with crown apple and butter shots.
Bro.
And we had a couple too many of them.
Bruh. Okay. We may have to start a cocktail segment of the show.
Dude, let's do a cocktail hour.
Yes. We're going to start it with some rum chata, which if you've never had that, it is amazing.
No, rum chata.
If you enjoy
anything.
Yeah. Folks in our audience, if you enjoy Cinnamon Toast Crunch milk after you put the Cinnamon Toast Crunch syrup, mm-hmm. imagine that with a good amount of alcohol on the back end. It's beautiful. Okay.
That and it's really also really good with orange soda.
I've not tried that.
Yeah, it tastes like an orange creamsicle.
See, that's why we're tag team partners, okay?
Yeah.
That's why you're the hawk to my animal, or the animal I'm trying to... Wait, hang on. That's why you're the Marty... I'm one more comfortable with you, the Marty Jannetty to my Shawn Michaels. I like that. It works out way better. Okay. All right, cool.
Were you on that sweet chin music?
Yes, sir. By the way, as a kid, I remember just going... Yeah, okay, all right. Okay, one more for me, then I'll give it over to you. Again, not just the scariest movie, but again, just I think a really done well horror movie that gives a lot of nod to previous horror movies is Van Helsing. Just really good with Kate Beckinsale, our buddy Wolverine. Just again, gives so many nods to the horror movies from the 30s and 40s, the black and white, how they handle characters like Dracula, Frankenstein's monster, werewolves. The ending is done well. Just really, really just, I think, little things in that movie. So if you're looking for a movie, until you've got maybe preteens that you want to show them, that might be a little scary, but not necessarily so they get somebody won't be able to sleep at night, Van Helsing is a good one. Van Helsing is a good. If they like Avengers movies, they will like Van Helsing. It's got enough action and sci-fi with it to make it really good. So I believe we're up to you, sir.
Yeah, so my next honorable mention is The Walking Dead. I wanted to get some, it's spooky season, and, there's been scarier shows before, but I think this is probably the biggest universe that's come out of it.
Which do you prefer, The Walking Dead or Fear the Walking Dead?
Depends. So current Fear of the Walking Dead.
Okay, thank
you. However, I do like the earlier seasons, of The Walking Dead.
Sure.
It's just so much you can build on because mm-hmm. that's the universe. It's I know that the new Tales from the Walking Dead, I think, comes out soon.
Okay.
So I'm kind of looking forward to that. But
have you checked out Black Summer on Netflix?
I have.
The prequel to Z Nation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Z Nation, like, it got...
It's a little campy.
I like campy, but, like, there's, like... But Black
Summer... It wasn't
Summer,
Batman from the 60s campy either. It was like...
Right.
This is silly camp. The later seasons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. But, I mean, I liked where they went. And, like the baby zombie, I still think about it.
Yeah, the baby zombie was fantastic.
Yeah.
But, again, Black Summer, by the way, if you're folks that like Z Nation have not watched Black Summer... it is the prequel to Z Nation. It is a completely different tone.
It is better.
It's much more the George Romero style mm-hmm. of zombies. So it is not kind of the slapstick zombie. It's not puppies and kittens. By the way, I love the fact they call zombies puppies and kittens. But again, and also another great one if you like zombies. If you want something lighter, definitely iZombie, which was co-produced by Rob Thomas, by Matchbox 20, or, you know, what we call it, really, really bad music. Or if you look a little more serious, I think a very underrated movie, which is Brad Pitt and World War Z. Yeah. I think World War Z was really underrated. It really goes up there. And again, I love their take on zombies. So
yeah, the one thing I was like with Black Summer is I liked how they intertwined the episodes later on down, like something will happen.
Yeah.
And then like that gets picked up two or three episodes down
the road. Masterful storytelling. Absolutely.
Correct. I mean, like, I wish more series did that. So
well, most series act like their audience, and I'm sure we as the audience have given them this feeling, but they really act like their audiences don't have an attention span or can't go back and rewatch an episode. I like when something minor, and Joss Whedon is really good at this, when something minor happens like two seasons before, and then they expand upon it. Oh, that's why that was a thing. Okay. Yeah. Now, you know, those things. Okay. And again, that's one of the few comments that'd be positive regarding Joss Whedon, but with that, Joss Whedon went Joss Whedon. Okay, sir.
All right,
I went twice. Why don't you go again, sir?
Oh, okay. So now, Poltergeist. Now, Poltergeist is just one of those movies. Everything about the movie is freaky from the time it came out.
Carol Ann.
Oh, dude. Yeah, man. I don't think I've watched Poltergeist in the last 20 years.
It is such both of them. One and two. Once we got past the first two, again, if you're going to make a trilogy or beyond that, stop at two. One and two were great. Everything beyond that was too much, especially because, unfortunately, the actress played Carol Ann, RIP as well. I think I might have said this in last week's recording, but I just remember, and again, African-American household, my mother was straight up. She's like, if you ever get sucked to the TV, I'm not coming that in for you. She was very much like, you better just whatever happens, if the test pattern comes on, you better not touch television because I'm not coming in after you, boy. If that ended, we're cutting off the cable. Like, so you wouldn't know. No, not at all. No. Once you go into the television, my job is your parent has ended. So, you know, you better figure it out. I remember very quickly as a kid going, okay, so the white parents go and save their kids from in the television. My mom would just change the channel. So for a long time, the test pattern terrified me. I'm like, not me, because no one's coming to get me. No one's coming to save your boy.
Sounds about right.
Which I will say as a parent, if my kid fell to the test pattern, I'm probably turning on the NFL Network and calling it good. Absolutely.
All right. What do you have next?
All right. I'll just go and cover my next two just really quick, because both of these I think are just really great for very different reasons. Again, if you're looking for something that's a little scary, also kind of campy and funny, the Leprechaun movie, the original. Leprechaun definitely got a little silly. Again, we talked about how Z Nation got a little campy. Leprechaun became like Leprechaun in space, Leprechaun in the hood. But gotta love Leprechaun with a very young Jennifer Aniston. For no one was mad at the Leprechaun. No one. We all talk about someone we could relate to. Like, I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it, Leprechaun. By the way, young Jennifer Aniston and current Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, she...
Do you.
Yep.
Do you, boo-boo. Okay. That may have to be a scroll at some point, the do you, boo-boo scroll. Okay. But yes, Leprechaun, and then the other side, one of the few movies that absolutely gave me nightmares, which was The Prophecy with Christopher Walken. And it was not because there was more cowbell. But Christopher Walken's in The Prophecy. Was Elias Koteas? Is that who played the cop? I can't remember.
Yes.
Okay. So Casey Jones made an appearance. Well done. Absolutely. If you look for something that would absolutely disturb you, some of the imagery and iconography when it comes to religion and the impacts of that. And by the way, pop quiz, Bradley. Who played Satan? Do you remember?
Viggo Mortensen.
Yes, Aragorn was the devil.
Yeah,
it, but he didn't open the two doors at the same. He didn't do the oaken doors thing.
What is it he says in that movie? I used to have it memorized because it was just. It was one of my favorite movie quotes. Gosh, now I can't even remember it. It's
that
like,
he says or Cody says after the beating?
Vigo. What does Lucifer say in prophecy?
There was a couple. One of them was, something to do with your mother. Like, basically, he'd kill you or he'd make your mother cry or something. But I just remember with that one, what killed me was after the scene, because he doesn't identify who he is. And then after seeing Elias Koteas goes back, and the female lead, and forgive me for not remembering her name, basically he goes, I met the devil tonight. And he says it so, remember, this guy's if you've not seen the prophecy, he's a priest who lost his faith, he lost his faith right until he took his vows. But that was just so matter of fact, like, I met the devil tonight, was just so impactful. So the prophecy is a great one. Really good special effects too for a early to mid 90s movie. It was really, and again, one of those things that the sequels have not quite held up to the original, but the original prophecy, if you look for something that will give you the heebie-jeebies, definitely check out the prophecy.
Yeah. Oh man. No, I'm there's 19.
Are you trying to find the words?
Yeah. I'm trying to find the words. Let's check it out here. Oh, a couple of them. God is love. I don't love you. I remember that one.
Yes.
Let's see here. So humans and how I love you talking monkeys for this.
Yes.
Know more about war and treachery of the spirit than any angel. And then he says, I love you more than Jesus. For a while, heaven may be closed. I am always open, even on Christmas. Wow. Here's the one that I was thinking.
That's powerful, that last one. Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Dude, like prophecy. Okay. They had a great soundtrack too. I remember like one of the songs was from Skid Row. And I was like, it sounded just like an Offspring song.
See, here's the deal. Just real quick tangent. The 80s and 90s had music that really wasn't trying to be popular. It was trying to be impactful for rock and hip hop. So you can get those songs in a soundtrack that you go, this is for real what a badass villain. When you're Skid Row, when you can make a song that literally go, this is the shit that Satan would roll to. That guy's a comment. You know what? That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Like, we made Satan's top five. We're in Satan's iPod. That should be a thing, right? Okay. What else you got, sir? You said there's one more.
Yeah, a couple more, actually. Another thing you said was, do you know what hell really is, Thomas? It's not lakes of burning oil or chains of ice. It's being removed from God's sight, having his word taken from you. It's hard to believe, so hard. And then one more. Dude, like, yeah, it's deep. I you know what? I need to rewatch Prophecy.
Thank you. I'm same.
Absolutely. Oh man. Last one. Heaven will become just another hell. And
that's
two hells is one hell too many.
Too many. That's the one.
I can't have that. Yes.
That's the one.
That was that one is the absolute best.
That's the one. The minute you started it, that's the one that gave your boy chills. Another one that I've always kind of been interested in of who, and again, because we are in October, we're in the Halloween season, but one of the things that I've always been kind of interested in were who have done really good versions of the devil. So we had, like I said, Viggo Mortensen, but also one of the ones that I really like is Peter Stormare from
Constantine.
Yes, he was. And remember, this is the same guy that plays the Russian cosmonaut in Armageddon. Right?
Yes.
So it's like, dude, okay. But he's just, I mean, those were two excellent portrayals. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, you've actually got Lucifer in the show Lucifer.
Yeah, Tom Ellis.
Yeah, in Sandman, where you've got Gwendolyn. I mean, there's this, so that might be one maybe for the end of the month, or just as a, we may just do some unpacking of our favorite portrayals of the devil. And of course, my personal favorite portrayal of the devil is the 45th president of the United States. All right, moving forward. Okay. You know, he'll be in prison sooner or later, so I'll leave it alone. Okay, sir. So is that the rest of your honorable mentions? Because I've covered all mine. What about yours? I'll leave any of your HMs out.
I got one more, and is Haunting of Hill House, the show. On Netflix, man, the one that it was spooky. It had all the hidden ghosts in it, and it made you want to rewatch it again and again. So, good story, good twist.
Yes,
that's my final.
And before we get to our top five, one of the ones that almost made my honorable mentions, but I felt like it was just too damn scary to put in our podcast. But I just mentioned it. But do not watch if you want to ever sleep again. Without a doubt, the most horrifying movie I've ever watched in my life, starring Elizabeth Berkley, Showgirls. All right, moving forward.
I thought you were going to go to Elf, but
Elf is bad. Elf is really bad. Oh God, Elf is Santa. Oh God. But okay, for our newer listeners, this is something we hit on the early part of year one of our podcast. Is how much Brian Stephen Dennis hates Elf. I hate that movie. There's very few, like, you hear us talk about movies that we talk about Andor a little bit, not our cup of tea, but we know this people, my friend Jeff Young loves the show. Good for you. Again, that's what we need to scroll up. Do you, boo-boo. But Elf, my goodness. Thank you, do you, boo-boo. Anyone that likes that movie, I generally don't like Christmas movies. We talked before about what's the greatest Christmas movie ever, which, again, if you don't know, is Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Yeah, thank you. Number two is The Weapon. Yeah, Batman Returns. Home Alone. Okay, then we can keep going.
Yeah.
But Elf. Just Elf. I actually last year got an Elf present on my desk at work of how much I hate that show. Is that movie. And I generally honestly like Will Ferrell movies. I may be in the minority of folks that generally like Will Ferrell movies. Land of the Lost, Step Brothers is fantastic. Talladega Nights. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff there. But Elf, I've not been able to get through an entire watching of Elf, and I've tried. So, yes, Elf may be almost as bad as Showgirls, but Showgirls gave your boy nightmares. Because how are you going to take strippers and kill all the fun? All right, sir, let's get to our top five. All right.
All right, top five. You want me to kick it off, or do you want me to...
Yes, sir, please, you go for it. We'll see where we're at.
My number five, I'm actually surprised we've only crossed past one so far.
Well, we have more than once. We just didn't hit the honorable mention.
Oh, gotcha.
We've hit more than one time. Go for it.
All right, so my number five is a show, or no, not a show, but a movie, that to this day I cannot even listen to the theme.
Okay.
To this day,
yes, sir.
I am still scared of. I will not watch it every year. My wife screws with me. That is Children of the Corn. Nope.
Outlander.
Nope.
We have you, woman.
Here's the deal.
And I've long since said this. I have people in my family named this name. You cannot trust a child named Malachi.
Right. I mean, who does that?
You can't do it.
Yeah.
And for anyone whose children are named Malachi, you get what you're getting, okay? Mm-hmm. I would trust a kid named Damien before I trust a kid named Malachi. Not to mention you had the weird redhead kid that was also kind of strange, too. Like everybody else was like elementary school, like 2 feet tall. Then they had the weird-ass gender, like 7'3". You know, and we all know genders have no souls to begin with, so that's a thing, all right?
Yeah.
So yeah, okay, I can hear the comments coming. Yes, genders have no soul. Fight me. Okay, all right. Bradley, go ahead and keep going.
Oh, a second. okay.
It's all jokes, ladies and gentlemen. It's all jokes. Yes, sir.
All right. So I'm going to go up through my final five. Okay. Please, guys, chill in the corn. My number four, it's not a super scary movie, but it came out in the early to mid 80s. And it's one of my all time favorite. And I can't even find it anymore, but it was House 2. It was about this.
I've watched it. I'm trying to think of it though.
Yeah, it was about this guy, and they have all these rooms in this mansion, and every room is like a portal to a different area.
Sure.
And they have they find their great, this one of them is their great great grandfather who was from the old west, and he was a mummy. Okay. And then they go, I mean, like, it is just, it's like a horror kind of version of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. It was so freaking amazing. I remember it was on all the time on Skinamax.
Okay.
Back in the days. And
for those of you don't know why Cinemax is called Skinamax, it's because you now have a phone. All right. But yeah. By the way, I was gonna say it's like 50 Shades of Grey, but with imagination. So whatever works for you. All right.
Yeah, so House 2. I can't think of any of the cast. Let me see here. House 2, 1987. Wow. Actually. And let's see here. House 2. Oh, the second story. You know what? Never mind. We won't waste that time. But anyway, House 2. House 2.
I'm going to find it and check it out because I remember. So one summer, again, my mom was a school teacher, so she had the summers off. So as any great parent would do, me and my friends are really into horror movies. So she actually, back when video stores were a thing, what we did for one summer, me and my neighbors, Josh and Kevin, literally went to the video store with my mom and did nothing but rent horror movies. And I know we did the House series. So I'm sure I've seen House 2. It's not striking my memory, but again, kind of like Once Bitten. Mm-hmm. Is in the rotation to check out. Definitely House 2 is going to be there as well. By the way, we I don't know if it made your list. It didn't make mine, but just as an honorable mention, back to it. If you've never seen Once Bitten, which stars a very young Jim Carrey, Kevon Little, it is an excellent vampire, a satire of a vampire movie. Actually, it's a good movie, though. Mm-hmm. It's a really good movie on its own merits. And by the way, if anyone wonders where Jim Carrey gets so much of his physical comedy, I don't know if you remember the dance scene in that, Bradley, but Jim Carrey can freaking dance. Mm-hmm. So you should definitely check out Once Bitten. If you've got kids younger than maybe 14, not for any of the scary content, but some of the other content of why people are chosen. Mm-hmm. To be vampires, maybe a little young. But if you got any 14-year-olds or older, probably really good for checking out. And it's funny. It's got a couple little jump scares at you. And it's honestly a really good movie. So, again, check out Once Bitten with Jim Carrey.
Awesome, awesome. All right. Other than House 2, my top three.
Yes, sir.
One of them is probably the greatest listed horror movie ever. Mm-hmm. The Exorcist.
I spaced off an exit. The young priest and the old priest.
Yeah.
Linda Blair talking about the trauma of having to do that scene over and over again. You know, I will never look at a crucifix quite the same way again.
Mm-hmm.
So younger Brian may have actually tried to find, younger Brian may have went through a phase with his dream girl. Turn her head around back and spit a pea soup because I thought, you know what? That could be really handy in a pinch. But that being said, I will stop before we get sued. But yes, Exorcist is a great, and come on, that Tubular Bells,
mm-hmm.
that just that music would make the hairs kind of creep on the back of your head a little bit. Absolutely great choice, sir. Great, great choice.
My number two is stars Keanu Reeves. And one Gary Oldman as Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula from the mid 90s.
Good choice.
Man, like that movie was freaking everything.
Good choice.
That is such a freaking amazing movie.
Very good choice.
And then my final, my number one.
Yes, sir.
Not scary, but scary in like a real type of way. Like based on actual events.
Showgirls?
Called... yeah. The Mothman Prophecies.
Nice.
The Mothman Prophecies starred Richard Gere, where he played a journalist.
Yes.
And he shows up at this place. Anyway, gets stuck in a town.
Yes.
And he starts figuring out something might be going on that's a little bit more than meets the eye.
Yes.
And there's just something about that movie that just the realness of it, I mean, just kind of gets me. And it's one of Richard Gere's best performances.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there are a couple ones when you say that that really, again, makes me say, I mean, number one, similar to that, is one of the ones, again, with Richard Gere that makes them, that is Primal Fear. With him and Edward Norton, so good. Edward Norton, Laura Linney, so good. So good. On some level, you look at Edward Norton in Fight Club, Edward Norton in the Incredible Hulk, Edward Norton in Primal Fear, kind of the same character, but really good, really good. And one that didn't make my list, but for some reason, you talked about it, made me think about it, Shutter Island.
Oh, yeah.
With Leonardo DiCaprio. So good. Again, not necessarily a horror movie per se, but done really well, including having our buddy the Hulk in that as well, which I can't want to get angry now. Every time I watch that, I go, just get angry. Solve the problem. It's fine.
Right.
It's fine. Okay. All right. So great list. We have so far, when I get done with my list, we will only have matched on between honorable mentions and top five. We only have had two in common, which again though shows you the depth of the subject matter. So my number five, gonna start out with again, scary. The series has definitely gotten campy over the years. Shows that every great villain becomes a hero in the end. So our buddy Chucky with Child's Play. Just because again, I am old enough to know the impact. Child's Play, to show you the impact of this. Child's Play killed a toy. And what I mean by this is right before Child's Play came out, Bradley, you remember there was a toy called My Buddy?
Yeah.
Who looks, and I should have looked this up, how this movie did not get sued by the people who made My Buddy. Maybe it was coincidental, but it was such a thinly veiled reference to the My Buddy toy. That was super popular the Christmas before Child's Play came out. And this movie destroyed that toy. Destroyed that toy. No one wanted it. And there's currently a series on Sci-Fi called Chucky. There's been lots of sequels. Check out the first one. Because again, once you get to Bride of Chucky and all that sort of stuff, similar to Leprechaun, it becomes more fun. But the first one was authentically scary. Number two, talk about old school. I think we're going to go talk about the original, the OG of horror movies. Not the first one, but the first one that really terrified me, which was Psycho.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. Okay. As a preview, that's a little boy. It ruined shower scenes with little girls. And now your daughter looks like the chick from The Ring. Stop it. Leia, stop. Leia, stop it. Right now. For real, quit. The Ring bothers me. Talk to your daughter. That for real bothers your boy. Okay, like, God. She did that really well. You've done a good job, sir. You've done a great job as a parent.
What you laughing about?
I'm laughing because you know what the topic of the night is?
What?
Is horror movies. And you were just reminiscent of The Ring, which didn't make my list,
Has she seen The Ring?
No.
That, are you sure? Because that was really spot on.
Okay.
All right. I think, by the way, if your daughter ever wants a future in horror movies, I think she's got one.
I think so, too.
All right. So here's what we matched again, Lost Boys. We covered it pretty deeply. really good. Again, if you want probably the best vampire movie that doesn't have someone named Dracula in it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, old school, The Shining, or as the Sims would say, ooh, The Shining. Mm-hmm. The Shining. Here's Johnny.
Here's Johnny.
Bradley, have you seen the sequel, Dr. Sleep?
I really liked Dr. Sleep.
I liked Dr. Sleep as well.
Hi, you're Johnny?
Yeah. I'm Johnny.
I think she's watching movies that you're not aware of. I think there's some things you may want to talk to her sister about.
Right, and all she has to do is, like, I would watch all these with her.
Yeah. I mean, she can obviously handle the subject matter, so absolutely. Okay, so The Shining, here's Johnny. The sequel, Dr. Sleep, is done really, really well. Ian McGregor, or as we like, or as I will forever call him, Obi-Wan.
Yes.
Okay, and then number one, partly because it launched a franchise, it also has one of the best authentically scary surprise endings and shows where you start isn't where you finish, which is the original Friday the 13th. The original. Very good. By the way, Bradley, who, and if you've seen the movie Scream, you should know the answer to this. Who is the killer in the original Friday the 13th?
The killer in the original Friday the 13th?
The first one, yes.
The mom.
Mrs. Voorhees. Yeah. Absolutely. It is not Jason. Jason's not a thing until the very end of the original Friday the 13th and then all the later movies. But the original killer is Mrs. Voorhees. So everything that happened from Friday the 13th 2 till Friday the 13th 99, I don't know how many they've actually made, is, and again, just took something that was so well done, and that final scene, Brian, I'm assuming you've seen the original as well. Mm-hmm. That final scene where they're on the canoe, they're in the middle of Crystal Lake. Where I'm from in Georgia, we actually had a Camp Crystal Lake that shut down because of that movie, because it had the misfortune of being named Crystal Lake. But that scene where Jason makes his first appearance at the end of, and that's the end of the first movie. Jason reaches out, grabs this person from behind, drags him to the water, and that's the end of the very first movie. And then we get what most was a tribute to Friday the 13th from that point forward. But just absolutely fantastic. So you got to give the original, the other movies, lost some stuff. But the original, where they didn't have all the supernatural stuff with it, was actually the most authentically scary one of the original Friday the 13th.
Did you watch Halloween Ends?
I have not seen it yet. I definitely plan on watching it.
It's on Peacock. It's okay. It's fine.
I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis has been playing that character since like 1971, I think. So
I mean,
you got the creepy brother factor, which they really need to okay. Mm-hmm. Bradley, again, I believe you probably. I trust your nerd street cred. The mask that Michael Myers wears, who is it?
William Shatner.
It is the Inside Out William Shatner mask.
Yep,
absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So that should tell you something right there. I just at some point want Michael Myers to go, "Con!" Okay. But that would be the only thing he ever says, and then it's over with. And I love the TikTok that Matthew put out, no matter how fast you run, you're always going to be slower than Michael Myers walking.
Of course.
No matter how fast you run, including getting in a car, you're going to be slower than Michael Myers walking. That's it. Somehow, sir. All right, sir. Yes, sir.
All right.
That's a good list.
Great list. I think we covered pretty much the best of horror movies.
Yes, sir.
And properties out there. Brian, it is time to do a little bit of quick pitching.
Hit me, sir.
All right. So we've been doing this for the last few weeks because I think it's fun.
I
only have 5 songs for you this time.
Okay, I got a couple for you as well when we get done with me.
All right, so I'm going to start with all of the songs came from my playlist that I would listen to on the way taking my kid back to her mom today. So we're going to start with Stellar from Incubus. And I'd play the music, but I don't get sued for copyright.
Gotcha.
Stellar.
Okay, so Stellar, we got to make this a sci-fi one. Again, you put the ideas of inner Stellar. So when we talk about Stellar, what we wind up going is I love the movie The Martian with, again, Matt Damon. We mentioned that earlier. Also, Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey is a better science movie. Not quite as good, I think, a watching movie. Neil deGrasse Tyson loves Interstellar. But here's what we would do with Stellar. Is the idea of we need to save the world because our son is dying, and we send off a crew. Again, I feel like Delroy Lindo needs to be in this cause. I just like Delroy Lindo. Mm-hmm. They wind up saving the son. They return to Earth and realize that they went through some type of wormhole, and the world that they saved is not their own Earth. So now they must navigate this and decide that both Earths cannot exist. So if they save the world that they came from, including their family and loved ones, then their new Earth that they've adopted must die, or the Earth that they're on must, for it to survive, their home must die. So you see a lot of that, taking against some of the sci-fi of it, but having that, those big moral conundrums there. So that would be Stellar.
Very cool. That would be Stellar. All right. Number four is Bring On the Big Hair, Breaking the Chains from Dokken.
I love your musical choices. Okay. So Breaking the Chains. All right. So we're gonna play off the idea of 12 Years as a Slave Master. So we're going to have Chiwetel Ejiofor. So we're breaking the chain. We're going to have.
And he is definitely not in enough stuff, man.
No. And by the way, I want credit for getting his name right. Chiwetel Ejiofor. That name is his real name. Check it out.
You win the episode.
Yeah. Fight me. Okay. With that being said, so because I'm really loving Quantum Leap, you know, it didn't name my top five this week, I would do this, is that you have someone that.
Quantum Leap. I'm 2 weeks behind.
No worries. So I'm gonna do you one better. I'm gonna mix match Quantum Leap and Never Ending Story, where you have someone that is reading their family history and they have to get transported back to their ancestor who is a slave. And what their goal is to free their ancestor from bondage. So that will be that telling them a story, and we'll call that one Breaking the Chains.
Dude, that's freaking amazing. I love that. All right. Now, I hope you like some Kings of Leon, because we're going to talk
about... I'm a big fan of the Queens of Leon, but, you know, whatever works for you.
Use somebody.
Use... Okay. This will be the NC-17. No, I'm sorry. Okay, so use somebody. So this will be the idea of... one of the movies that I think was underrated, how it was absolutely, I love the idea. I think the ultimate product didn't come out as well as it should have been. But if you've seen Repo Men with Jude Law and Forrest One-Eye Whitaker, done really, really well, okay? I mean, the premise is good, the product not so much. So you somehow would be very similar to that. Well, what happens that if you are someone in the future and you're really poor, you actually sell your organs for money, right? So you someone would be basically that. Like, what happens if a father sells part of his organs to someone, like, let's say, a lung, and then his daughter needs the same deal? So he has to go back and get that organ to save his child. So I think that we could talk about aspects of classism, big pharma, all that sort of stuff, and the idea, wouldn't be matter to actually use someone. So that would be my quick pitch for that song.
All right, got two more. I know you've been listening to some hair metal, so we're going to talk a little bit about it.
Peacemaker.
Right? I remember you, Skid Row.
First off, Skid Row is got a special place in my mouth. I'm a big fan of Skid Row. Sebastian Bach, come on now. Come give him some love. I know the name. Okay, fight me, okay? And the other side of it is the fact this guy basically walks the line between heavy metal and opera. I think it's really good, okay?
Yeah.
All right, so what's the name of which thing? Remember Me?
I listened to both that. I Remember You and 18 in Life, but I thought 18 in Life would just be too easy. So
yeah.
We went to I Remember You.
Yes, I Remember You. Okay, so one of the movies that I think doesn't get as much pub is Memento, right? Mm. So you move this play backwards and someone's trying to get that. So we're going to have a detective story called I Remember You. So when I was a kid, many people have definitely heard our podcast. Know that I was one that doesn't sleep a lot. So when I was a little kid and didn't sleep a lot, I watched a lot of old movies. And one of the big movies that I watched as a little kid back when Nickelodeon would play old movies in the middle of the night was basically DOA, Dead on Arrival, which actually took the idea of you had a detective that was poisoned, that only has 12 hours or so to live. And I'm trying to say that they did a remake, well, not as good as the original black and white. So with the I Remember You, we're going to have someone that wakes up with amnesia. However, what they wind up finding are clues that give them hints of their identity. So what they're trying to do is to solve, basically, the murder that they're accused of, even though they have no memory of it. So I Remember You will be the detective. As they're trying to, again, find the clues that were left by them before their memory was erased, kind of like a Total Recall, to solve the murder they're charged with. And by the way, spoiler alert, they find out that they're guilty.
Awesome. Now, I was going to say that, too. All right. Final one. You'll appreciate this one. Fancy Like.
Talk about something that's way overdue. Okay, so here's Fancy Like. Okay, so we got to start. It's got to be starting with Reese Witherspoon. Okay, so
I want Applebee's.
I want Reese Witherspoon and Johnny Knoxville managing an Applebee's. Absolutely, mm-hmm. And kind of offshoot of Waiting. They're talking about all the weird things that happens there, and of course they're gonna fall in love. But we got to have the evil franchisee who's trying to turn their Applebee's into like a TGI Fridays. Or a Chili's. And so we got the class warfare of who really serves the best cheese sticks. But that would be the deal. That again, we've got Johnny Knoxville, the roguish Johnny Knoxville, and America's sweetheart, Reese Witherspoon, who I actually had a conversation on, that actually in Legally Blonde, apparently Reese Witherspoon's character, Elle Woods, was autistic. Did not know that, but that's a large undercurrent of fandom is that she's autistic. But with that being said, we're going to have Reese in Knoxville running the Applebee's with the chocolate shake milkshakes and all the love. And again, for some reason, Reese Witherspoon will there have to be a mandatory scene where Reese Witherspoon spills it all over her attire where she's got to walk around in less than full, fully dressed garb because, you know. Mm-hmm. That's how
they want to sell tickets.
That's and or just Brian wants it to be that way. So don't bring me the quick pitches if you don't want my 2 cents on it. But again, everything will work out well, including we will have at the end of the day, as always, do you, boo boo. All right. So that will be my quick pitch for Fancy Life. Absolutely.
All right, and looks like I am up.
You are, sir. So I thought it would be a little easy to give you songs. So I came up with the idea of let's give you food, okay?
Ooh, okay, okay.
So I'm going to give you just – I got three.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you the name of some of the top snacks in our country and you to come up with a pitch or a movie or a television series based on that.
Okay.
Are you ready, sir?
Bring it.
Okay. So tell us a story of Nestle Toll House.
Nestle Toll House. This is going to be an animated movie. And it's going to be about, yes, some tree elves. And I just dropped something. And in these tree houses, now, not the tree elves that you know and that you love. But these tree elves like to do several things. They like to go around and use magic. They really like to eat.
Yes, sir.
But you see them making a lot of things for the people. And what you don't see is the reason why they're making these toll houses. Because you have to pay. And what do they pay with? Is their lives. So these elves are going to come around and they eat the humans. And then they make food for the humans.
Solid Green is humans. It's people. Yes.
Just, and then the circle goes on and on and on. And that is...
Is that possibly the circle?
Ooh, yes, I like it. It definitely is the sir. I can't sing the circle.
By the way, real quick, because we're talking about kids, but people been real upset about Not My Ariel a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. No one had any issues when Simba and Mufasa talking about the circle of life, they're eating the antelope. No one should. I want that scene from the perspective of the antelope. Like, right? Antelope, like, yo, wait, what?
Yeah, like,
didn't we just bow to you at the beginning of the movie? Like, we're like, hey, Mufasa, big up.
Right.
You gonna eat me?
Go somewhere else to eat an antelope, man.
Or when Mufasa's killed later on, you know, why didn't Simba just go, circle of life?
Right? I'm going to be an antelope.
Hey, I'm about to be the king. Let's do this. You know, okay.
And it's going to be king.
By the way, which one was a better finale? Jeremy Irons in Lion King or Jeremy Irons in Die Hard with a Vengeance?
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Boom. Yes, sir. Yep. Okay.
He was so all good right. in that.
He's so good in that. Okay, so number two, give me the quick pitch for the movie, Cheerio.
Cheerio. So Cheerio is about a con man. A con man who moves to England because that is where he feels the best marks are. And sure. There is a certain thing that he is wanting to go after, but he's got to build himself up, find some people, and make a team to get this priceless piece of art. So he goes and he works on all of his cons.
Okay.
And he ends up conning the wrong person. And you know how that always goes. When you con the wrong person, it's going to come back on you. And so now he has to keep up the con to stay alive and be cheery.
Also with that, the villain has got to be Sir Nicolas Cage. I just feel like, you know, we've got right. Nick. Nick's not doing a whole lot of anything at this point. So I really like the idea of Nick Cage just coming. I'm not Nick, him coming in and just making it happen. So that would be my two cents. I really like the idea of that, but having to be Nick Cage, absolutely.
I mean, Nick Cage can be in anything he wants.
Yes, yes, yeah, absolutely. Nick Cage, I want a Nick Cage versus Nick Fury. That's what I want.
I think that would literally blow the heads off of many, many people.
All right. Yeah. So my final one for you, sir, and I think you've done great. Is this one was inspired by not only Betty Crocker, but Betty Crocker, super moist.
So, super moist.
You notice the eyebrow?
I do.
And
I'm not going to go there, but like, where you want me to go?
I don't know where you want me to go, but remember the eyebrows are the.
So Super Moist is going to be the story of two rival home bakers.
Of course it is.
And
yeah, fix this one, sir. Yeah, I've been waiting all podcast. Come on, sir. Fix Super Moist. By the way, the Infinity Gauntlet is very powerful tonight.
Oh, man, I ran out of Crown Apple a little while ago. And in Super Moist, these two rival bakers are, it's going to be kind of like a comedy type thing. All the hijinks that's going to go on with, they're trying to sabotage each other.
Sir. Yes, sir.
But the kicker is it's going to take a nice turn because it's a spooky month. And the one baker is going to poison the other baker's food, but at the same time,
yes,
the baker who's got her product poisoned and her customers are dying is going to fall in love with the other baker, and so there's going to be this.
So they become super moist from the love.
They're going to be super moist from the love, but the one has poisoned all of her customers. They start dying.
Your wife is gonna kill me.
I mean, she's probably not watching, to be honest. So I mean, that's
okay. Again, Bradley had nothing to do with this. This is all my fault. This is all my fault. Okay.
All right, and that,
yes,
my friend, is super moist.
You missed the obvious casting, though, because out of nowhere would come your boy McLovin. Just because I am McLovin. Yes. Okay. All right, sir. Oh, God.
Very good,
okay.
Very good.
Yeah. We're running short on time, sir.
All right.
Do you want to do the...
Nope. I think we'll call that the...
That works for me, sir.
But where can we find you, Brian?
All right, sir. As always, you can find me on Facebook, Brian Stephen Dennis. Feel free to give me a like, a follow, a friend request. I will try to keep things interesting and light, and we'll give you all the Winnie the Pooh memes that you've ever had missing in your life.
You can tweet at me at Fandemic3, message me on Facebook at The Fandemic, also active on TikTok. Hear my reviews and so much more. All right, and if you want to support the show, there are several ways to do so. One, you can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/
Just make sure that it is super moist.
But make sure it's super moist, and yes, we will be more than happy to cheers you on the next episode.
Absolutely.
Or maybe even eat some super moist cookies. Mm-hmm. You can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/PVOTN Fandemic. You can become an episode assistant, episode producer, a pre-venge producer like Stacey, or become part of the con, starting at $5 a month.
But you is it a dark con of man, sir?
I mean, yeah. Yeah, probably. Yeah. or you can become a monthly supporter like Stacey at anchor.fm/PVOTN. Or, you know what you can do? You can just share the love with someone you want to make
just share the cast,
little more
sir.
Awesome.
Yes, sir.
Just like my book, Leveling Up My Awesome, on sale on Amazon, $7.99. Don't forget to leave.
Horseman level.
All right. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review. Now, Brian, I think we are at max levels of awesome.
We are. Right? We have maximized awesome, sir. All right.
And like we always do.
All right. So as always, please remember, no retreat, no surrender, and Goonies, never, ever say die.
We're all playing the same game in life, just on a different level. Thanks for catching up. You're welcome for leveling up your awesome. Live free or die empty. Have a great day. And you know what? I will get in trouble if I don't put Leia's song in here.
Yes, you better hit it, sir.
So we better end this the way we always do. Here we go.
Go strong.
That's right. Leia's rap, which is climbing up the chart.
I just feel like we need like Billy Zabka and Rodney Dangerfield to show up.
Hosted by my dad. A podcast Rodney
Dangerfield. I miss him. He was so fun.
With anyone who's awesome as Rebel's rival mine.
So level up your awesomeness and welcome to the Fandemic.
All right, everyone. Have a great week. We will see you soon.